Greetings and welcome to Understanding Israel-Palestine Beyond the Walls on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. I am this week's producer, Jeremy Roth Cushell. For this week's episode, I speak with diplomatic and cultural historian Walter Hickson about his book, Architects of Repression, How Israel and Its Lobby Put Racism, Violence, and Injustice at the Center of U.S. Middle East Policy, an analysis both of the lobby's U.S. domestic history of power politics and how it has provided narrative armor for Israeli state-sponsored military atrocities in Palestine and beyond, and additionally about the conference in Washington, D.C. this week that he is helping to introduce, titled Transcending the Israel Lobby at Home and Abroad. Hoping to further understanding Israel-Palestine beyond the walls. The opinions expressed in the subsequent segment of the show comment upon newsworthy and historical matters that are in, of, and for the public interest to be discussed, and are not meant to represent those of my co-hosts, nor of the station, or anyone at or associated with the station. This is Jeremy Roth Cushell with Understanding Israel-Palestine Beyond the Walls. I'm very pleased to be joined today by Walter L. Hickson, who is a diplomatic and cultural historian and author of several books and articles primarily focused on American foreign relations. His books include Architects of Repression, How Israel and Its Lobby Put Racism, Violence, and Injustice at the Center of U.S. Middle East Policy, Imperialism and War, The History Americans Need to Own, both published by the Institute for Research Middle East Policy just last year, 2021, previously Israel's Armor, The Israel Lobby and the First Generation of the Palestine Conflict, published by Cambridge University Press in 2019, and American Settler Colonialism, A History, published by Palgrave Macmillan in 2013, among many others. In 2020, Hickson retired as distinguished professor at the University of Akron. He is a columnist and a contributing editor of the magazine Washington Report on Middle East Affairs. Thank you so much today for joining us on Understanding Israel-Palestine Beyond the Walls, Walter Hickson.
Great to be here, Jeremy.
We are going to focus today on your book that you just published last year, Architects of Repression, How Israel and Its Lobby Put Racism, Violence, and Injustice at the Center of U.S. Middle East Policy. But first, I wanted to note that we are recording on Tuesday, March 1st of 2022, but this program will air on Friday, just as a very important conference titled Transcending the Israel Lobby at Home and Abroad, hosted by the Washington Report on Middle East Affairs and the Institute for Research Middle Eastern Policy will be just getting going. So I wanted to ask you, Walter, to inform our listeners about this conference.
Yes, the conference has been going for several years now, and was originally timed to coincide with the annual meeting of AIPAC, the American Israel Public Affairs Committee, the preeminent Israel lobby organization. AIPAC hasn't been meeting the last 2 years because of COVID, and we did a virtual conference last year, but it's live this year, and some tremendous speakers. I'll be giving a little kickoff talk, but then we have Hanan Ashrawi, who for many, many years was a negotiator with the Palestine Authority. The preeminent journalist in Israel, Gideon Levy, an extremely bold journalist and full of insight, and rock star Roger Waters, who's an activist in the Palestine cause, and many others. So if you're unable to zoom in to the conference, it'll also be available on YouTube and reprinted in the Washington Report on Middle East Affairs in a subsequent edition as well.
Thank you for that. And so the timing couldn't be more perfect in terms of really getting into the heart of your book, Architects of Repression, How Israel and Its Lobby Put Racism, Violence, and Injustice at the Center of U.S. Middle East Policy, which along with your other book published last year, also by Institute for Research Middle East Policy, of Imperialism and War, The History Americans Need to Own, are I would say some of the most important publishing last year in terms of our immensely contemporary moment in 2022 as Americans, let's say, as we broadcast from the radical middle of America, Kansas City, Missouri. And so I would like to give you a chance first to unpack why you wrote this book, Architects of Repression, How Israel and Its Lobby Put Racism, Violence, and Injustice at the Center of U.S. Middle East Policy, and give a little bit of background of how you came to it. Because I know people are likely familiar with what we might call the book. I'd say you put a bookend in many ways of two decades of this inquiry in an American sphere in terms of Mearsheimer and Walt's book, The Israel Lobby, which actually was started as an article sought in 2002, then by The Atlantic. And there's a whole story there, which we won't go into the deep background of, but it plays exactly into an understanding of how pervasive and powerful the lobby is, even into the commanding heights of the editorial decisions, because eventually The Atlantic rejected years of work that Mearsheimer and Walt had done in terms of this article that became their book. And they had to actually go to England to get it published. And the final point I'd like to make in terms of that, and then hand it over to you, is that now I believe to this day, the Atlantic is in the editorial command of a key Israeli partisan, Jeffrey Goldberg, who was actually one of the people who was pushing the Iraq war intensely in the run-up to the 2003 American invasion of Iraq, but also has even some personal background as an Israeli prison guard. And so your book, Israel's Armor, actually, I think might give us some sense of what that aspect of the Israel lobby is in terms of even the suppression of these kinds of investigations that are published for the public interest.
Yeah, you know, it's a good example, The Atlantic, of how the Israel lobby permeates American life. The Atlantic is a staunchly pro-Israeli Zionist publication, and as you mentioned, given Jeffrey Goldberg's background, that's not surprising. There are many think tanks, for example, the Institute for Near East Studies in Washington. Is basically a branch of the Israel lobby. The Washington Institute for Near East Policy is the formal name of it. So the lobby really permeates American society, even more so than Mearsheimer and Walt were able to illustrate. You know, that book was important and kicked it off. My book contains a lot of new material that book was published in 2006 or 2007. I think the article came out in 2006. And in some areas, they didn't go into depth. You asked how I got into it. Most of my career, I worked on the history of the Cold War and was a Cold War historian and had a 10-month Fulbright in Russia and a Fulbright in China. And I turned to the Middle East somewhat belatedly and took an eye-opening trip with Eyewitness Palestine in 2013 to the occupied territories. And I began to read, and frankly, I was just astonished at how distorted the image of the conflict, quote unquote, is in the United States. And that really is a product of lobby propaganda and disinformation just permeating American society. So I studied as a historian and went through the foreign relations series of the United States and read everything I could get a hold of on the evolution of U.S. policy toward Israel-Palestine. And found that it was, extremely unbalanced, as State Department diplomats argued for years, for decades. The State Department diplomats pleaded for a more balanced Middle East policy to create greater political stability and not risk oil supplies. And they had all sorts of concerns. Most American presidents, even very pro-Israeli presidents, like Truman, and even maybe the most pro-Israeli of all, at least until Donald Trump, was Lyndon Johnson. And they nonetheless had significant clashes over Middle East policy because the lobby became so strong that it was virtually impossible to do anything remotely that the Israeli government and the lobby opposed. And so that set up this situation where Israel, a little country of 9 million people, and a very modern and developed country, which doesn't really need a significant amount of aid, nonetheless, has received, as is well known, $146 billion from the United States in military aid since World War II, and gets about $3.8 billion a year, no questions asked, to build what is already by far the most powerful and most aggressive military in the Middle East. And that's just the formal money that is appropriated by Congress. There's also a lot of dark money that makes its way into Israel and the lobby. So this is an extremely well-funded and powerful lobby. And I can talk more about why it came about if you wish.
Yes, I would like for you to do that, because I would also like to point out that one other thing that really distinguishes this book, Architects of Repression, from Mearsheimer and Walt's Israel Lobby is from your background as a historian, really. So you really fill out and connect the dots in terms of the formation of the lobby, especially in the United States, and then how it really works out in terms of how Israel was founded under the concept, really, now that's well understood and that you've been crucial to helping develop, of settler colonialism. And then also, tell me if I'm wrong, but my sense also is that Mearsheimer and Walt come at the topic from a very, I would say maybe a very realist, a geopolitical realist, almost they go out of their way to amoralize the situation in many ways. And that you seem to have an unabashed, critical, moral approach to the issue and why it's so important, not just in terms of geopolitics, but also in terms of reckoning morally as American people and as humanity.
Right. Well, that was the astonishing thing about the Mearsheimer-Walt book, is it was, you know, fairly straightforward. And as you say, they are kind of traditional political science realists. They're hardly, you know, radical or morally infused individuals. And it's all the more telling how that book was, despite the fact that they're from Harvard and Chicago, had impeccable academic credentials. It was really viciously attacked and caricatured. And they did everything they could, Israel and the lobby principally, to discredit it and contain it with a great deal of success, by the way. But yes, I come at it from the perspective of who I am, a diplomatic historian. And, you know, the book is not a polemic, as you know. It is a document-driven, data-driven study. But in the end, I'm perfectly willing to march on stage with some, as you indicated, strong conclusions. I just oppose racism and apartheid. I oppose indiscriminate killing. I oppose illegal occupation and settlement beyond international law, and lots of other things that Israel and the lobby do. So I'm not shy about, in the end, making that point and making that argument and making it forcefully. And I think we really need to bring home to more Americans and international audiences that, but especially Americans, your tax money is going in support of an apartheid regime. And it's been declared that now by every significant human rights organization, including the Israeli Human Rights Organization, most recently by Amnesty International, though you won't know that from reading the New York Times because they never acknowledge that, although they routinely quote Amnesty's actions on other countries. When it came to Israel, they did not. That's another major problem, is media coverage or lack thereof of Israel and the lobby. So yes, I'm forceful in the conclusions, but it's a document-driven, data-driven book that comes from my background in diplomatic history.
And that shows through. And will you connect this question of settler colonialism? And you do make certain distinguishments in terms of the aspects of the formation of the Zionist state in Israel as a government in terms of settler colonial projects, and how it's both similar but also different. Will you connect that in terms of the origins of the rise that you trace of the power, the political power of the Israel lobby in an American context?
Sure. Settler colonial states are about the elimination and the ethnic cleansing, whatever term, the removal that you choose to employ of indigenous people to create new homelands of their own. So for starters, this is what American history is. The United States is a settler colonial state, and there are many of them, Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, and Israel is one. So this is a situation where, quote unquote, modern Europeans, typically white, came in and launched removal policies to eliminate the indigenous people from the land to carve it out and take it for themselves as a new homeland with a whole variety of justifications and misrepresentations of history. So the United States has in that respect symmetry with Israel, but the question you're getting at, the United States, of course, was an 18th and 19th century settler state, culminating in Manifest Destiny and what Theodore Roosevelt called the winning of the West, sweeping ethnic cleansing of an entire continent from indigenous people. So it's one thing to do that in the 18th or 19th century. It's another thing to try to do it as the new state of Israel did in the wake of the Nazi genocide and the sweeping changes of World War II, notably the creation of the United Nations and the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, and later the Declaration of the Rights of Indigenous People. So this really is the context in which I explain the rise of the lobby. You couldn't come out in 1948 and basically say, hey, we're launching an eliminationist, racist eliminationist project to take this land for ourselves. And so they realized the progenitors of the Israel lobby in the United States realized that they had to engage in propaganda and disinformation and contain and attack critics in order to build popular support to get that funding that the new state of Israel needed. First, to pay for Jews from all over the world to come to Israel, and then later to militarize the Israeli state and make it what I've already alluded to is the most powerful military, by far, with American largesse behind it in the Middle East. So the book title that I used in the previous work, the academic study, Israel's Armor, which culminated with the 1967 war, which is also not very well understood. That was an aggressive war that Israel wanted and was determined to have and took the occupied territories. But the term Israel's Armor, one of the progenitors of the lobby said that propaganda and disinformation, essentially the lobby, was the armor Israel cannot live without. So really the lobby is rooted, I sort of see it's, you can trace it back to the whole Zionist movement and to World War I period, but I think it really took off with the wartime Biltmore Conference and of course the urgency of the Nazi genocide and the horrific destruction of European Jewry added to the momentum of this early, of the Zionist state as well as the lobby that backed it up.
Now let's move forward through the 20th century and begin to move into our more contemporary moment, which the 21st century really does in certain ways represent not only the apexing of the of the Israel lobby, but also, as we talked about in the beginning, of some of the academic awareness and the willingness to write on these matters such as you have. But alongside that is this continuing connection between the lobby's work in the United States and even around the world in many ways to the heart of Israeli militarism. So will you take us into certain events? They've been called wars, but I think you really take issue with the term of these kinds of operations, such as the southern Lebanon incursion by the Israeli military in 2006, which led to the rise of the understanding of the Dahiya doctrine, which is a disproportionate warfare against even civilian infrastructure as somehow justified, and then into like Gaza, Cass-led in 2008 of December. And then finally, I'll just speak briefly on the Iraq War in 2003, which was, this was one of the most controversial parts of the Israel Lobby book by Mearsheimer and Walt, was Chapter 8, which showed how that versus the actual political democratic consensus of the American Jewish people, which of any single defined group in the United States was probably the most against the Iraq War in terms of percentage and numbers, the virtual entirety, the Israel Lobby and all of its Jewish organizations, that even those that are not said to be primarily about lobbying for Israel, but about Jewish life and Jewish organizations, basically to a one, including into the liberal Zionist sphere, all got behind the Iraq War. And although Mearsheimer and Walt don't go into it much, there is also the deep political forensics of the Israeli and Zionist connection to the architecture of the disinformation at the highest levels of the Pentagon in terms of the Office of Special Plans, that people can go look at the background by reading articles like The Lie Factory and Mother Jones about Lieutenant Colonel Karen Kwiatkowski from the U.S. Air Force, who has the goods on the disinformation campaign and how it was connected to basically a Zionist partisan architecture. But will you take us through the Southern Lebanon War in 2006 and then Gaza, Cass-led?
Sure. Let me background it by saying, and one of the things that the lobby in Israel accuses critics of is attempting to delegitimize Israel. And, you know, I'm not an enemy of Israel's existence. I would like to see it be I advocate a one-state solution and be a democratic state with all its citizens, Palestinians as well as Jews, having equality under the law, which they decidedly do not, that 20% of the Palestinian population that lives in Israel, and certainly not the people who live in the occupied territories in an apartheid regime. So when I say this, I'm not trying to delegitimize Israel, but it's important to understand that I call Israel a congenitally aggressive settler state. And this violence that you ask about in the 21st century runs through the entire history, from the Nakba in 1947, various atrocities like Kibyah perpetrated in the early 50s, tremendous aggression on the borders with Jordan and Syria, launching of the 67 war, refusing to disgorge territory leading to the 73 war, the first intervention in Lebanon in the 1980s. So there's a long history of this congenital violence, as I reference it. It does get more and more extreme in some ways. And so by the 21st century, this brutal assaults on Lebanon and Gaza, and you're quite right, as Norman Finkelstein and others have pointed out, and Finkelstein really took apart the Gaza interventions in great depth. These were not wars. These were massacres. The body counts and the casualty figures are so lopsided that this cannot in any sense be called a war. This is simply a massacre, particularly in Gaza, but also the indiscriminate bombing you referred to, the Dahiya Doctrine, where basically the Israeli officials said, no, we're not going to discriminate between civilian and military targets. One dead Arab is as good as another, essentially. So it has become more extreme. And as it's done that, the lobby has become more extreme and more intensive in its work. And one of the things that, as you know, having read the book, that irritates me is people who deny the influence of the lobby, which I think goes back to the assault on the Mearsheimer-Walt book. But, you know, you can go on H Street in Washington, as I've done, and look up at this towering office building that has no label on it, but is full of propagandists and disinformation activists and has grown its workforce, grown its office space, spends billions of dollars on disinformation, lawfare, frivolous lawsuits, vicious attacks on with sites like Canary Mission, which are just devoid of any moral compass at all, attacking, you know, students, destroying the potential careers of students for their activism, and so on. So this violence is very extreme, but it runs throughout the history. And, you know, straightforwardly, factually speaking, Israel has been governed often for much of its history by out-and-out terrorists. Ariel Sharon, Begin, certainly Netanyahu was overtly racist. So it's very problematic, the aggression that's hardwired into the Israeli state. And yes, the controversial aspect of the Mearsheimer-Walt book, it was caricatured. They didn't argue that the lobby brought on the Iraq War, but they certainly helped show. And I carefully read the lobby's very influential newsletter. One of the genius lobby's been extremely successful. And one of its early genius moves was the creation of this newsletter, primarily targeting Congress. And we haven't really talked about the Congress. We need to, because that's always been the central focus of the lobby and is reining in and controlling the U.S. Congress, which it does to an astonishing degree. The Congress is, you know, it's not even an exaggeration to say the lobby owns the U.S. Congress. So we can talk about that more if you wish. But the Near East report, I read carefully through it in the Iraq War years, and clearly it was the whole lobby group was strongly in favor of U.S. intervention, wanted to see a war too, and just as it really wants to see a war with Iran today. There's a strong element in Israel in the lobby that would like to see negotiations break down completely. They were delighted when Trump torpedoed the Iran agreement, and they want a war with Iran now. So this militarism is deeply problematic and highly implicated in Israel and the lobby's policies.
This is Jeremy Rothkuschel with Understanding Israel, Palestine Beyond the Walls. I've been speaking with Walter Hickson, who's a diplomatic and cultural historian and the author of Architects of Repression, How Israel and Its Lobby Put Racism, Violence, and Injustice at the Center of U.S. Middle East Policy. Thank you for joining us, Walter. And can you let our listeners know where they can find more of your work and where and about this conference, Transcending the Israel Lobby at Home and Abroad, where they can find more information if they want to listen in?
Google me or walterhickson.com. But the Israel Lobby Conference will, if you Google that, it'll get you to all the incredible speakers we're having on Friday this week. And it's well worth tuning in to the YouTube or published prints of the speeches. There's some tremendous speakers coming.
Thank you so much again, Walter Hickson.
Thank you, Jeremy.
You've been listening to Understanding Israel, Palestine, Beyond the Walls on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.